This is an ESO and Dude Letter production. Hey everyone, host Nick here, and today we're doing something a little bit different. For a while now, I'd been reaching out on podcasting forums to see if I could get some of my peers on the show. Reaching out to podcasters, movie reviewers, etc., to try to get what they think, and also recommend a movie or two that we could do to make sure we're disrupting as many people's childhood as possible. While it won't always necessarily subvert a normal episode, I thought this week it would be appropriate. So for our first movie podcast interview interruption, I had the pleasure of interviewing the co-host of We Hate Movies and the host of Blame It on Outer Space, Eric Siska. This is a really good interview. I'm happy he was able to come on the show and recommend a movie for us. So enjoy and stay tuned for the end where he will recommend next week's episode, kicking off our Halloween month. Thanks, guys. Oh, and before I forget, do me a favor. Go onto iTunes and rate and review us. Follow us on Twitter, at Myopia Podcast, and join the Facebook group. Thanks very much, guys. Hi, this is Nick Hoffman from Myopia Defend Your Childhood, host of that podcast which reminds you your childhood was much more embarrassing than you like to remember. This week with me, I have Eric Siska from We Hate Movies and Blame It on Outer Space, a podcast that we've referenced before and we're all huge fans of on our end of the microphone. And today he's going to talk to us a little bit about what he does and the podcasts that he creates, along with some movies that he ended up watching, loving, and hating. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Well, thanks so much. That's too kind of an introduction, but thanks for having me.
I want to start a little bit with your kind of, I want to say celebrity, but I don't know how that works.
Well, I could tell you from living in it, it's not really a celebrity.
So let's start then with We Hate Movies. How that all came around and how you got involved with, I guess, Andrew and Steve and Chris.
Right, yeah. Well, you'd have to go back to a different America long ago. we all met in college. I guess it was – Andrew and Steve, I think, became acquainted at college around – 2002, and I think I joined the pack in about 2004 or 2003, and we sort of just started watching movies together. And Chris Cabin, also, who was on We Hate Movies for a long stretch and will be back, he actually went to high school with Andrew, so they kind of grew up together, and it was basically kind of like, it's weird because the show kind of evolved out of this college club of watching terrible movies because we all kind of studied film in some way or another. Steve did literature. I did cinema studies. Andrew did cinema studies. And Chris Cabin was a dramatic writer, and he then became a film critic after college. And we kind of all just sort of by happenstance ended up in the same neighborhood in Queens, New York, and we started getting together to watch shitty movies. And one day Andrew said, "Hey, I would like to start this podcast and record this." And I thought it was a terrible idea. I didn't think it would ever fly. I didn't think anyone would ever listen to this stuff, right?
Right.
But they do. Some do. Some do.
I mean, that's actually, well, that's fantastic because I love, a good origin story, but I like how it all just kind of falls into place.
We got bitten by a movie spider.
Right out of the East River.
Yep.
Which is worse than radioactive, I think.
Yeah, I think that's where trauma movies are from.
I do have a question, though.
Yeah.
What is cinema studies as opposed to film study?
It's the same thing. It's just certain universities call it a different thing. It's meaningless. I would prefer film studies as the nomenclature.
It's almost like a monocle falls out if someone says film instead of cinema.
Yeah, it's a silly differentiation there, but semantics, film semiotics, etc.
don't worry, I'm earning a PhD in history. It's all BS and fancy words that don't mean anything.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know those.
Exactly. So. You said Andrew kind of presented this idea. Like, what was the movie that inspired this? Is there like a touchstone moment?
Well, I guess, see, there's, I guess I got to think now. Well, in college, what sort of first started the fire was watching all the Death Wish movies.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, you know, all your Charles Bronson aficionados, which I'm sure many of your listeners are. But. After that, I kind of don't exactly remember the pinpoint, but we started with Wired, which is the much hated John Belushi biopic starring Michael Chiklis. But I think before that, we sometimes watched just random shitty movies. Actually, we one of the first ones I think we did. Was at some party after the night was winding down, and it was the Vincent Price movie, The Last Man on Earth.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, where it was later remade, I think, a couple times, Omega Man and I Am Legend, which is the worst of of those three. And funny enough, we ended up a couple years ago, we did a live commentary to The Last Man on Earth in Philadelphia. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, so that kind of came full circle.
Well, and it's a good segue, because the kind of movies you guys generally do, you do have, you know, the occasional blockbuster month, but for the most part, you find often forgotten, unknowns, like completely missable movies, the kind that, you know, if you saw, you would leave the theater thinking either this is terrible and forgetting the next day, or as though it never happened kind of movies,
right, yeah.
Which is an interesting choice.
I think, you know, most people probably think we dig through tons of stuff to find this, but most of it we saw growing up, and just like, you know, it's kind of like that wrinkle on your brain you wish you could get rid of. So you got to scratch it on the podcast.
Yeah, we should talk about this, because the format of the show is interesting, because it seems almost as though you start with about a half hour of, you know, sketch comedy, where the movie itself gives you the sets up, and then you guys kind of yes and for half an hour before even attempting the plot, right, which often there isn't much of in these movies.
Yeah, it's actually, I guess it would be more improv than sketch, since we actually sure. don't write material. But yeah, I mean, we kind of take a movie and we try to use its skeleton as a jumping off point for comedy. Because we always try to, you know, yes and ourselves into some type of situation.
I do realize that as someone who does improv, I guess, saying yes and is almost like a shudder moment, because I'm sure it's a mantra that you're sick of hearing.
Oh, yeah, it's a buzzword. Actually, you know, it's really weird, because I'm the one guy, well, me and Chris actually don't have any formal training in improv whatsoever, but we're so good at it.
it's fun. Well, and of course it becomes a practice of you guys doing impersonations for half of it as well.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, like, this whole podcast is basically what we used to do at parties and, you know, late night college campus outings all the time. So we kind of, I think that really honed our rapport, I guess.
Yeah, you guys have a nice kind of, like you said, rapport. It's like a very good improv kind of team. So when you guys are picking movies, how do you generally choose? What's the process along those lines?
Well, usually we look at a month, and if it's not a theme month or something like that, we're like, oh, there's four weeks. There's four of us. So each person will pitch a movie. And then someone else on the team will have to go and evaluate that movie to make sure it is indeed an episode. I mean, sometimes we've been on the fence about stuff and disagreed, and we would swap it out for something different or similar. But most of the time, we get along.
So does that mean that, like, let's say you suggest a movie, does that mean Andrew has veto power, or do you have to sell it to him?
Well, yeah, pretty much anyone has veto power if they, you know, have a solid case for it. Well, we'll kind of have our We Hate Movies off screen argument about it, and we'll figure it out. But most of the time, that doesn't happen. I think it's, you know, maybe once or twice a year, or something happens in general that we swap it out for something different, you know.
Sure. Is there any examples you have, or is it just now at this point you guys have been doing it long enough that you just know what kind of works and what doesn't?
It's hard to think of examples because there's been a few in the past. I can't really recall what there was some movie recently, I forget exactly what it was, but then we swapped it out for Son of the Mask because, you know, we really wanted to do the Son of the Mask, and we figured, yeah, it's a franchise, we'll just throw it in the summer.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's funny, that just kind of reminds me of, well, I got introduced to your podcast when you guys did the kind of the dual episode with the Flophouse.
Yeah. With Every Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can, I believe, the Clint Eastwood ape films.
Which I believe are the most baffling movies that I have seen by Clint Eastwood, but in general, they're just how you sell a movie like that. You know, most people would end up with a lovable dog, and he ended up with an orangutan twice.
There was just something going on in the air in the late 70s that people thought you could do monkey movies.
Probably piles of cocaine. But the ones that I think really sold me on your show were, I think the first one that, again, not linked to that, was Casper, followed very closely by Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, we got a lot of flack for Casper. I was really surprised by the Casper fan reaction to that.
What happened?
Have you done that on your show, Casper?
Not yet. It's in the pipeline because, well, probably for the same reason everyone was hating on you guys. It's one that I remember taking a creepy turn, but, you know, generally it's a cartoonish movie, you know.
Well, you might be a little younger than me, so I'm or not, I don't know. But when it came out, I really disliked it. I saw it in the theater, and I don't think I was that old. I forget what year that came out. What was that, 90-something, right?
Yeah, 90-something. I think 96, maybe?
Yeah.
95.
Oh, 95. Okay, yeah. I mean, I was still pretty young. I was probably 12 or 13, and I hated its guts. It's just, there's a lot of stuff in there that I'm just like, it just irks me. Like, every turn that movie irks me. So, I really, that was actually my selection for that month, and I pushed for that movie. No one disagreed with me, but I was really surprised by the reaction that some people had. Not too strong. We had way worse on Mystery Men.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mystery Men was like, oh my God, is the podcast finally being burned to the ground? There were a lot of pitchforks out for that, and you know, I wasn't on the episode, so no one can blame me, which is good.
We ended up doing Mystery Men as well because, well, I mean, you know, it's one I saw when I was younger. I remember not liking it, but everyone thought, like, that movie will totally work. It's still great. It's almost unwatchable.
Yeah,
it's really unwatchable.
There are those select bad movies that if you watch it at like a certain age or something happens. Something like in your brain chemistry will make you convinced you love it. And I mean, you might, and that's fine, and it's okay to like a movie, but come on. The thing is, like, people getting so sensitive about talking about, you know, fluff movies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, Well, I think part of it too is as you get older, you gain more knowledge of movies in general. Right. And so like you rewatch something like Casper, like when you're a kid, yeah, I'd seen Ghostbusters. So I thought it was awesome when Dan Aykroyd showed back up. Cause I mean, you're right. I'm a couple years younger. I was maybe 10 when it came out, but then you're like, ew. Like when you get to be an adult and you rewatch Ghostbusters, which is amazing.
Yes.
And then you see it, it's so frustrating, you know, and then with Mystery Men, when they're actually actors that should know better.
yeah, exactly. Man, I mean, Mystery Men is also just one of those movies that it's just like it is the culture of its time. It is so of its time. Like that is a time capsule movie. Like that soundtrack.
Dane Cook.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yes, that fossil.
With as I recall, he has bleached tips too.
Oh yeah, a lot of people did back then.
As you dust off your history jacket and say, well, back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. I was.
Frosted tips. And.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was front lines.
And I mean, and, you know, and it's just what you guys do because as opposed to, say, something like, I don't know, like Mrs. Doubtfire, which everyone on Earth saw and didn't realize how creepy it was.
Yeah.
You know, and then you dust off something like. I don't know. Like, I'm just thinking, like, even this most recent week, of course, you did a Lifetime movie because someone requested it, but you've done them before.
Right, yeah. And, yeah, I worked there for a while, and I like watching terrible Lifetime movies. They're usually a lot of fun if you get the right ones.
Well, I mean, like, there was one that came out last year that I ended up seeing because I heard legends of how bad it was with Lindsay Lohan as Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, right. Liz and Dick.
Liz and Dick, yeah.
I have not seen that one yet.
I don't think there's a single scene that takes more than 45 seconds. It's as though she couldn't learn lines, so they just kept cutting to, like, the next scene.
Yeah.
And they're often years later. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's always a good sign when a movie has thousands of cuts.
Especially when it's a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
I don't want to take up all your time just talking about this. We should talk about your other show, Blame It on Our Space, which came back this week.
Oh, yeah, but I think it's going to be an RIPD.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it might have run its course. It's, I don't know. It didn't gain the a ton of traction. It has its fans, but it seems like it's become a kind of a struggle to get done with scheduling reasons, and now with Chris Cabin being off We Hate Movies, you know, I'm kind of on deck every week now, so it's
sure.
I'm trying to balance my load here.
So do you want to just bury it? Do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Well, I mean, it's still fresh. We might be doing at least one more episode. We'll see. But I don't. I feel like I've got an idea for a different show coming up that I might want to swap it out with. Is sort of where we're going with it.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's also because it's like it's kind of a lot of work, you know. Like I was interested in conspiracy theories and I loved talking about them. But then, like, you have to go through so many of them, and then it's just like you're reading about them for a few hours, and then, you know, it kind of just added up. I was like, man, I'd rather watch a movie.
Sure. And you get into this rabbit hole where, I mean, you know, you don't ever want to buy this stuff because it's the people who comment, you can just tell are, you know, half naked in a basement somewhere talking about it.
Right, yeah, which is how we record the show as well.
From the center of the hollow earth.
Yeah. There's a very like a big conceit around the show. I'm playing a character on that show. I guess it's sort of like what Stephen Colbert used to do. And it kind of got a little hard to keep up with at times, to be honest.
Well, it was such a neat idea. I hope you come up with something. Your new concept works too. Cause I think it's a neat idea. I really do. So what do you think is the future for this, for We Hate Movies? I know you were talking about Chris leaving, and obviously we don't want to take away his, you know, secrets, but it's down to the three of you, and you guys have quite a show going.
Right. So what's the future, you're asking?
Yeah.
World domination.
Always a good direction.
No, we're going to be, we're going to try to do some more live shows, as far around the country as we can go right now. And, we're just going to keep on trekking. You know, we got, October Spooktacular coming up, or depending on when you release this, maybe it's already happening. And
it'll come out. This will come out the first week of October.
Okay, great. So, you know, we're going to be doing a bunch of horror movies, and I don't know. We're just going to keep on doing what we do. I mean, that's sort of we'll see where it takes us, you know.
Well, that's awesome, and that does bring me to something I wanted to talk to you about. How did you guys get to do these live shows? Where did that start? How did that come out?
Well, I know when we started the show, I had noticed that, you know, a lot of these other podcasts are doing some live shows, and it'd be good to get out there and do something, you know, like maybe see the audience a little bit. So I think our first show was at a venue in New York in Long Island City called The Creek in the Cave. And we didn't really think that the podcast would fly just doing it live. It was very early on, so we kind of made it a variety show where you know, we had a friend do some stand-up. We did sort of like a game show with some video clips, and you know, we had a good time with it. And then after that, you know, we did a couple of live commentaries to movies at a theater called Spectacle in Brooklyn, which went really well. A lot of people came out, and we were invited to perform eventually at the first annual NYC Podfest. And that was at the People's Improv Theater in Manhattan. And it went really well. I mean, we did Steven Seagal's On Deadly Ground. I think it's nice. Episode 90 something. And you could check that out on our website, whmpodcast.com. Go to the episodes tab. So then, you know, it went well. So we started to have kind of a relationship with that theater, and we did several more live episodes there. And we were like, hey, let's see if anyone comes out in Philadelphia, you know, and people came out for similar events. We did live commentaries there, and just recently, we did our episode on the Green Lantern in Cambridge, Massachusetts, that sold out very, very quick, and it was a lot of people there to hear us talk about that movie. It's kind of amazing when you think about it that people would come out to hear you talk about a failure of a Ryan Reynolds movie.
But a lot of them are failures, so there was plenty to talk about. Well, I mean, you said you were the one person who wasn't trained in improv. Like,
yeah,
is that
Chris Cabin?
And Cabin. Yeah. Was it terrifying for you to do these live shows?
The first one, absolutely. I was really nervous. And when we ended up getting a date out in Philadelphia, one of the guys there asked us, like, hey, why don't you come to this other popular show we're doing and be like the opening act? So we ended up showing a couple of video clips and just talking with the audience a bit. And man, they had a full house. It was, you know, you're suddenly thrust up in front of at least 100 people. And I guess it's a little bit of sink or swim. And eventually, you know, the first couple times are a little scary, and you kind of just get over stage fright. Like, I was a shy kid. I was petrified to do anything. I couldn't. I felt like public speaking was one of my, you know, most terrifying ideas. You know, like, I could never do that. Uh-huh. But you know, enough bullshitting on a podcast. I guess I realized I had a voice some people want to hear. So at some point you just got to let go. You know.
Sure. Well, that's fantastic. It's kind of interesting to see how, you know, listening to the back catalog through to today, how the show's kind of changed. And like, then listening to the live shows that are, you know, like kind of sprinkled throughout your mainstream and how it all's kind of come together, you know. I want to wrap up here by talking about the kind of movies that maybe you guys are afraid to do or don't want to talk about. Because, you know, it's maybe touches a little too close to movies you really liked when you were younger or that kind of thing. I guess I want to start with, like, are there any actors that this that your podcast have ruined for you or any
ruined? For, well, let me just say Jim Belushi is totally different from me nowadays. You know, I remember, you know, watching, like, actually one episode that was done was Mr. Destiny. And I remember actually kind of enjoying that as a kid. And I think my parents were kind of charmed by the oafishness of Mr. James Belushi for a little while.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, that's completely different animal for me today, because now I can't look at him without thinking of Andrew's impression.
What one that you guys, I guess two that you guys really messed with my head on, are Jim Carrey.
Oh yeah.
Because he was everywhere in the 90s, and you know, you haven't done things like Liar Liar or The Truman Show, but you're right, with something like Batman Forever, it becomes it's grating.
Yeah, and you know, we're not out to get anyone or anything like that. Like Jim Carrey, I really enjoy still, but like there are certain movies of his, like, you know, that Batman movie where you could say, eh, what's going on here? But sure. You know, I don't right now anyway, I don't have any intention of doing The Truman Show, for instance, or Ace Ventura. But Ace Ventura 2, that's one that's, have you seen that lately?
Not lately. I remember it being shockingly racist.
Oh yeah, it is. It is insane. So, you know, that might be a possibility. So things like that. And, you know, obviously a couple of weeks ago now we did an episode on, the Deadpool where he has a small role.
Yeah.
That's the last Dirty Harry film.
Oh man. And like, Or even someone like Robin Williams. Like, yeah, he did some amazing movies, but you touching on Mrs. Doubtfire.
Right.
Like, there's a reason why you need a director to stop people from talking.
I mean, there's so many Robin Williams movies you can do. I mean, I'm not going to jump to do them quite yet, obviously.
Sure.
But Patch Adams. Have you seen Jack? Francis Ford Coppola's Jack?
It's insane.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's...
It's hard to put words on how weird it is, considering it's one of the greatest directors of all time with a real talent, and it's just a train wreck.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, it's that was where the kid ages really fast, right? It's right. It's like a forwards Benjamin Button.
But he's not charming like Tom Hanks is, you know, in a very similar movie in some ways.
Yeah, it's a classic misfire. I mean, everyone's going to have a couple, and I'm sure we've had a few episodes of, you know, the podcasts that people are like, you know, it's crap. You know, I guess everyone makes a little crap sometimes.
Sure.
Maybe one day there'll be a podcast reviewing podcasts, bad podcasts, the bad podcasts.
Bad podcast inception.
Yeah. It's going to happen. There's going to be enough one day. I think there's a new one every 5 minutes.
It has to be. And there's only so much AV Club passive aggression to pass around.
Oh, yeah.
Although you guys got a nod recently.
Yeah. I'm very thankful for any passive aggressiveness we get on the AV Club. they've been good to us because as you know, it's hard to get any notice on a podcast, especially if you're not a celebrity.
Yeah, and I mean it's interesting because a lot of the competition you guys have are, you know, like Paul Scheer and How Did This Get Made, and those are generally guested with bigger name comedians, and you have the Flophouse, which is guys from The Daily Show, and they have some recognition. So it's impressive that you guys are as big as you are and put together such a great show.
Well, I will say it's definitely surprising. And all those guys are great and they do great work. But you know, we're the lunch pailers still going to our 9-to-5 jobs every day. So
podcast of the people.
Exactly. I don't like to throw around the words working class hero too much, but maybe.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. Now, is there any movie you think would be interesting to review that you watched as a kid that you haven't rewatched or are afraid to put under the cynical eye of We Hate Movies?
You mean like I enjoy it's too close to my heart to bring to the show, even though I know it's bad?
Would be exactly.
Hmm.
Or even if you don't think it's, you know, bad is such a negative connotation.
Right. See, the thing is, like, I've learned to not be precious. So I think I've kind of already been doing this, like taking movies I really enjoyed when I was a kid and then throwing it up there. But, you know, here's one that I don't know if it would really hold up anymore, but obviously it's like God level movie. And I would be apprehensive about doing an episode on it just because of what the reaction would be. But I loved it as a kid, but I think I saw it on TV partially a few years ago, and I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't think this really holds up. I got to rewatch it, granted, but The Goonies.
Ooh, interesting choice.
Right? Like, that's like, people love that movie.
Well, and it's one that I think everyone just can kind of passively mention in conversation,
right?
Because it's almost a point of reference. But, hey. Yeah, and it's a... Well, it's Chris Columbus. It's Steven Spielberg who wrote it, I think, right? And it's got Rudy is in it, right? Sean Astin?
Yeah, it's got a whole mess of people in there.
Interesting.
have you seen Monster Squad?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Did you like that movie?
I do like that movie, but in a kind of I can't believe this is a movie kind of way.
Do you remember some of the choice dialogue in that movie?
Go ahead.
There is that's a movie that doesn't age well. There's a lot of I guess we'd call it gay panic going on. There's a lot of slurs bandied about.
Yeah. That's a two classic 80 weird movies.
Yeah, like, I mean Emperor Reagan's America, man. Things were different. I mean, I guess you can't judge it from today's lens, but let's do it anyway.
Exactly. With all those, with all your Goonies and your Draculas running around in Reagan's America.
Oh my God, there were so many Draculas. I mean,
and your Frankenstein's monsters.
It's a blood trickle down economic. I don't know. That joke doesn't land.
No, that's silly. Well, Mr. Siska, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hoffman.
Ooh, so fancy. Well, thank you. I'll let you go.
Thanks for having me. Have a good night.
You too. Bye. There you go, guys. We'd like to thank Eric Siska for indulging me. And please check out his shows. Blame It on Outer Space, as you heard, is wrapping it up. The most recent episodes, all the back episodes, are up on iTunes right now, with the possibility of one more episode in the pipeline. It's that theme which is playing behind this very segment. On top of that, we have We Hate Movies, which updates every Tuesday. But don't fret, they come up with new stuff all the time and have over 200 episodes in the back catalog. The theme song for We Hate Movies is performed by Hurrah, A Bolt of Light, and the theme song for Blame It on Outer Space is recorded by Chris Invisible Boy Bearden from Policia. Tune in next week when we start off our Halloween month by watching Monster Squad as per Mr. Siska's request. Myopia Defend Your Childhood is brought to you by DudeLetter.com and is part of the ESO Network. It's hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Nick Hoffman, and produced by Ann Burns. Our graphic designer is Scott Miller. The theme song is Caroline, written and performed by the Serenaders. Purchase their music through the Amazon link on DudeLetter.com and MyopiaPodcast.com. Want to help us out? go to myopiapodcast.com/Amazon and purchase stuff like normal. Myopia gets a piece of the action. Questions or comments? Please visit myopiapodcast.com or contact us at myopiapodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at myopiapodcast and at dudeletter, and find us on Facebook, Stitcher, and iTunes. And while you're on iTunes, please rate and review our podcast.